The first one I want to talk about, Micah, and it's a, I think, a big issue going around Texas right now and the U.S. in general. And this relates to Pride Month right now. We just had Pride Parade here in Houston, so there's, as always, a lot of discussions or debates around that. But I think in recent years, it's taken on a different tone. It's part of what people often refer to as like the culture war. And personally, I've found more and more, I think there's some discussions worth having within there, and then a lot of nuance and complexities that tend to get lost in the extremists from both sides. So that kind of sucks that things go that way. But this one, I just want to pick up here with a report from the Houston Chronicle. It says Houston Democrats' support of transgender care ban, anti-LGBTQ measures, has roiled the party. And I don't know if we talked about this a while back, Micah, when it first happened. So this report is from late May, but it's come up more than a handful of times. And it's interesting because I think we talked about when the law passed, as far as like these different, we were talking before about like how far is too far in terms of like for those of us who care about freedom and liberty and don't want the government end people's lives. You know, people are worried about, well, the kids are being exposed to specific ideologies they wouldn't otherwise, and it's in the books, or it's coming from the psychologist, the doctor, so we need to ban things or try to restrict things. And one of those efforts is to ban access to what is so-called gender-affirming care for minors, those under 18, which specifically is about giving kids hormones and then trying to give them access to surgeries to, you know, remove their breasts or different things like that, what's so-called top and bottom surgery. So there was this bill passed in Texas, and it has passed and has become law. And there was one, was I think two or three actually Democrats that voted on, you know, cross party lines, voted with the Republicans. And the Texas Democrat Party, the local Harris County Democratic Party, Houston, et cetera, they all kind of see this as traitorous because the way they feel is it was going to pass either way. The Republicans already had it. Why did these Democrats choose to, you know, betray the party and cross party lines? In particular, one woman, State Rep Sean
Like,
Theory,
why do they have an
team.
opinion that didn't go with the groupthink?
It's, yeah, why they have a different opinion. So this one state rep, though, Sean Theory, and I've reached out to her trying to get an interview for this show, so we'll see if that happens, just because I thought it
Yeah.
was pretty powerful to hear her side of things, because for one, she's a black woman, she's in the Democratic Party, so those are a couple of things that they claim to care about, people of color and women. And the article here just says she lowered the microphone and shifted a handful of tissues between her hands. And this was back when she was testifying, like why she was voting in favor. She chose to come out and give like a 12-minute speech that was pre-written. And she said that she was listening to people in her district, which is what a quote
Yeah.
unquote representative is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And some folks might not realize that there are a big chunk of the Black African American community that tends to be conservative and
Yeah.
Hispanic as well. And so her district, particularly in Houston, is made up of largely Black folks. And she said she had conversations with them and she consulted with people in her community. And overall, they felt like this was something they supported, that they were concerned about their kids and things like that. So she spoke up. The bill was Senate Bill 14, and it did ban gender transition care for Texans under 18. And what she's quoted here is saying was, quote, "For me, this discussion is about how best to protect and care for these children as they navigate through the challenging journey of finding the best version of themselves, citing concerns about possible long-term harms of treatments like puberty blockers and hormone therapies." She said, "After listening to the debate today, I believe we should raise the age of 18." So there's a speech you can find of hers on YouTube and on her Facebook channel. And the crazy thing, though, again, Mike, like you said, she had a different opinion, right? So she gets attacked by local groups here in Houston, including like the Meyerland Democrats, the Bayou Area Democrats. They all voted to censure her and essentially kind of say, we don't approve of these actions and we think, you know, she's a traitor. And on Twitter, you go to her Twitter account, I mean, she's been pretty much attacked and called transphobic and bigoted, et cetera, and she seems like a reasonable person. She, you know, puts back her comments and saying, hey, like, you know, she's sharing racist messages she's getting, hateful messages she's getting now since this. But she said this was based on her own research, spending the last couple of years researching, talking to people in her district. And as she said, she tweeted in April, "I voted my district." When it comes to some of the other similar measures like books and stuff like that, she said, quote, "I met with many of my constituents who are parents of school-aged children, and they were appalled at the sexually graphic content in so many of the books in public schools." So anyways, I wanted to highlight this because it's local, it's Texas, but it's also something that's happening around the country. Like you said, people who are choosing to speak up and ask questions and maybe say things that we're not supposed to discuss are being attacked or, you know, censured, or their political careers potentially destroyed, you could say. It's sad to see.
There's kind of a concern I also have is like, when you see this backlash against her, there's one quote in here. Representative, I'm not sure how to say her name, but I'm mutilated. Derry campaigned on being an ally to the LGBTQ plus community, yet she has supported legislation which will harm this community and doesn't align with democratic principles, read one of the motions from the Meyerland Democrats Club, calling on her to reconsider her stance. So like just like that alone right there, right? Like, how do we say this? I think this kind of has a lot of loaded assumptions in it too. I mean, about what's good and bad for this community, you know? Like, this is going to harm this community by, you know, preventing children under 18 this access, right? As if there's not a lot of other things that they have to figure out, right? Rather than just going straight to, you know, hormone blockers and et cetera. But it just seems weird because it's immediately like doesn't align with democratic principles. What? I mean, I just think that this could be a false dichotomy that an individual could care about the LGBTQ plus community, you know, as she's saying she's an ally, right? At least this person's saying that, and still vote this way. I mean, is that conceivable?
Well, and I don't think it's conceivable to some of the people in from the Democratic
Party.
Which
makes a separation between the LGBTQ plus community in general and the a group of people, of partisans, that are driving a certain issue here.
Well, not only that, but then they try to, like you were saying a moment ago, try to frame it that trying to have a different opinion on this particular topic automatically means you've become a right winger. You're now a conservative. You're become far right. You're far into this. Like, that you go a little further in this article and they start talking about how she has liked posts from the page Gays Against Groomers, which for those who are not familiar with that, it is a conservative group ran by gay folks that tend to sort of see the LGBTQ movement as like not all united. Instead, there's groups that are kind of saying LGB is one thing and the T is kind of a different thing. Not to say they're against it per se, but they feel like the concerns and the interests are not necessarily aligned everywhere. And there are even groups like Gays Against Groomers who are very vocal about different things that they see, in their words, as like, you know, this conversation being pushed on people or the rush to hormones, et cetera. And they're not coming from necessarily a homophobic perspective, obviously. I mean, they're gay folks themselves. And so it doesn't, as much as people would like to present it, the criticisms of these concerns don't fit neatly into you're just a bigot, you know, but that's what this representative is being treated like.
I think you could be a supporter of women and be against that Netflix series that had those young girls on it.
Sure.
And yeah. I think that might be kind of the closest thing in a quick attempt that my mind could come up with. Like, just because something has to do with the theme or the subject of, like, a T of trans here,
yeah,
like everything that enables transsexuality isn't necessarily what's best for transsexual people. I know that sounds strange, but I think people probably have to know where they are and get to where they make decisions like this. And maybe sometimes kids, as we know, are impressionable. They don't know what they want. They haven't reached the age of reason, whatever you want to say. We don't allow them to smoke for the very same reasons.
Exactly.
It's like a bodily effect. They have to sneak to smoke cigarettes. I mean, I'm just saying. So I don't think it's unheard of or that it has to be viewed as being anti-LGBTQ if you don't
and I think
want
that's
these kids to.
The worst part about it is being like those are the extremists on both sides. Accept people at all costs. You know, if you don't like this, then you're a bigot. Or the other side, which maybe does contain people who truly wish gay people didn't exist or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You've got these amplified voices.
As if that's the only voices.
One thing here, just to kind of pick up, because she pretty much said what you were saying there, Micah. In her speech, she said that she was concerned about a lack of long-term research on outcomes for transgender children, about side effects from drugs, and about children's inability to understand the potential risk from medical interventions. She likened the ban to age-based regulations on cigarettes and tanning booths, and noted that countries like Sweden and Finland have recently tightened their restrictions on transgender care for younger people. And she said in her talk, quote, several European countries, which were on the forefront of administering these treatments, have reversed course they're taking a more cautious approach now to the use of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones in minors. So again, I don't think she said anything too controversial here. It seems to me kind of be a, I mean, I guess I would call it a common sense perspective. And she's being attacked. And here's this other one I'll just sort of pick up. This one is from the Texan. Texas Attorney General's office sues Biden administration alleging unlawful transgender Title IX policies. And this relates to state laws that would ban biological males from competing in women's sports, which has also become kind of a big, I guess, battle sticking point in this conversation, which I can understand. I mean, there's, you've got like professionals in biking speaking out, professionals in swimming speaking out, professionals in skateboarding, professionals. And, you know, one thing I'll say that I, an argument I've been seeing, because I've been working on a report around this issue, and I sat down with a transgender man transitioning to get their perspective on a lot of these topics. And there are people who are supportive of this community, but also just like this, the representative say like, hey, this doesn't make sense. You know, there are, this is the problem with saying that there are no biological differences, right? As you have people like, and also there are many people I think who are taking it from the stance of like, this is sort of another patriarchal step of just erasing women, that if I wanted to declare myself a woman today, which again, I'm not saying anything wrong with whatever people want to identify, but if I wanted to, the society around now is basically saying that should be accepted at all costs. And if I wanted to go join, you know, and become the champion of women's whatever sport I want to join, you're supposed to celebrate that and give me a trophy. And anybody who questions that and says that, hey, Derek, maybe you won because, you know, well, you still got male characteristics.
There's definitely a difference from you being able to present or express yourself in any way you so choose, as long as you don't violate other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between that and being accepted by everyone and being validated by everyone.
Sure.
That your presentation, like some people might want to identify as an attack helicopter. It doesn't make everyone have to accept you as an attack helicopter.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that that hurts some people's feelings. It hurts some of their dreams and fantasies and such, but that's just how it is sometimes. And we cannot change the whole world to shelter a small group. Like, that's not the same as respecting their right to present and to, you know, be the self that they want to be. Just because, you know, that doesn't mean that they need to be allowed into certain, I guess it's all down to that question. Does it make that a woman? You know, a lot of people would say no. Or does that then make it out a man? A lot of people would say no. I think that a lot of people that even are transgendered would say no, that, you know, that it doesn't, that they never would be a woman in that sense, that they are feminine gendered, right?
Sure.
And so I think that it's another one of those wedge issues in a way where we're making it as if that all transgender rights are built or fail on this. I mean, maybe there could be a transgender league.
The nuance is lost in there, like you said. And I mean, it's so this, though, this lawsuit that is coming from Texas is specifically to do with, again, these what they're calling unlawful Title IX policies. And so for those who didn't hear about this or don't know about it, Title IX, it came from the U.S. Department of Education. The Office of the Attorney General announced that it's suing the Biden administration, Texas Office of Attorney General, for what it says is an unlawful interpretation of Title IX statutes. Title IX, which is one of the education amendments of 1972, prohibits sex discrimination in educational programs. And just in 2021, the Biden administration added the words gender identity and sexual orientation through two executive orders that they said would guarantee an educational environment free from discrimination. So this is kind of in a way, or at least the way Texas is interpreting it, as like trying to force them to go along with accepting certain things like that. Because if they don't, like, for example, call somebody on their names or whatever, or in this case, ban biological males from competing in female sports, then they're violating Title IX, violating U.S. law. That's what the Biden administration is trying to make it. So Texas Office Attorney General is suing to say that this is incorrect. They say that the new Title IX protections incorporate, quote, conceptions promoted from the extremist transgender movement and run counter to Texas laws. Texas is challenging this blatant attempt to misuse federal regulatory power to force K-12 schools, colleges, and universities to accept and implement transgender ideology. This could put at risk over $6 billion in federal funding, because basically if you don't go along with that, if you violate that, then the feds can withhold funding. You know,
there's a lot of assumptions in allowing, you know, a biological male to compete in women's sports. There's a lot of, you know, I don't know, there's, you know, what is it called? Co-ed. There's some co-ed sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of sports that they're not co-ed for a reason. Like, you know, so I think it's frustrating, and it's kind of, you know, going to be unfortunate blowback to a lot in the transgender community that these issues have become almost like the hills that flags are on, right? They stand out, and I don't know how many people, these are like their issues. You know, I don't know how many LGBTQ plus people, these issues here, whether they can play sports.
Well, you know,
they could get drugs as minors.
One thing I've noticed, Mike, over the years that we've been doing this is that even if, like, so for, like you said, maybe there's a good chunk of the transgender community or LGBT community that's not really like, oh, this is my major issue, this is my thing. But then the media blows it up. They tell them all they're under attack, because that's literally how they're framing these laws. Like, I've heard here in Harris County, you know, Hidalgo and other politicians that say that, like, we're here to stop these laws that are going to harm children. Laws that are literally just saying maybe kids should wait till they're 18 before they, you know, change their genitalia or attempt to, because that's the thing, is these surgeries don't, kids who have them, it's a whole other topic, but they're not being given a real true informed consent. Like she said, Finland, Sweden, and now the UK and other places outside the US are trying to like roll back some of the things they were rushing into. We're now starting to get a little bit of data, and it doesn't look that great, you know? So there are people who, I think, because of the way the media is blowing it up, though, that's being interpreted as like, we're under attack. Like, these people are coming for us. Whereas it's not really trying, nothing that I've seen so far is trying to roll back what's already been given.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just like, hey, maybe these books shouldn't be allowed in schools. Hey, maybe, you know, men shouldn't be able to compete in women's sports. What I was saying earlier is I've started to see now like a sort of a feminist critique of that, and saying that, look, this is just another way that men are erasing women from female spaces. If a man can just declare himself a woman and come and win all of our sports, or, you know, be recognized for his bravery or whatever. And, you know, I don't know, I think that's a fair argument to say, like, that it could be another way that does end up hurting women and equality in the long term. Not trans people themselves, but men being able to just declare themselves one day and then be celebrated and then come in and win at whatever sport they want and get all these accolades and whatever else and be on the cover of magazines.
Especially when you think that a lot of the female leagues that are, like, gender-specific leagues were created to create a level playing field based on biological differences inherent in, you know, people that are born male and people that are born female. So it's almost as if, you know, this thing out there, like I said, I think it could be really bad for LGBT people that like so many people are choosing this as a hill to die on, because of the fact that it really doesn't have much to do with your individual right to express or be with whoever you want to be or live how you want to live. It has to do with whether, you know, society will let you go in the leagues that are formed for biological females, you know? And I think that if you, like, to expect the entire world to just give some stamp of approval to your choice, I don't think any group on earth gets that. So why should you?
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.